Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app, this is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, Gardaí will be out in force in Donegal this August bank holiday. It's being claimed today that 4 years into the de facto block crisis, the Department of Housing didn't know what measures had been taken to ensure construction materials in affected counties were fit for use and compliant with EU regulations. A Donegal historian and commentator has described the strategic rail review as a work of fiction. And Donegal County Council has welcomed the recent approval by Cabinet to progress the TEN-T road project. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have all the latest in sport coming up with Mark Gallagher at about 5:15, followed by Farming and News and Views with Chris Ashmore. First in news though, Gardaí will be out in force in Donegal this August bank holiday weekend. The RSA and Garda Bank Holiday Weekend Road Safety Campaign kicked off today and runs until Wednesday. Motorists are being warned that means an extended enforcement period across the weekend, targeting speeding, drink and drug driving and the use of mobile phones. Head of the Roads Policing Unit in Donegal, Inspector Seamus McGonigal, says in light of recent statistics, a key message this year is not to allow yourself get distracted behind the wheel.
It's not just mobile phones. There are many other items in a car nowadays that can distract you. And I say cars are a lot safer from an engineering perspective nowadays. But there, at the same time, there are devices that you're scrolling up and down, looking from side to side. Anything that lets you take your eyes off the road, any distraction that lets you take your eyes off the road, is a serious danger, a serious impediment to safe driving. I have been at a lot of those fatal collisions, especially over the last few years. And there's nothing that can stop you in your tracks. Like seeing a person or a youngster in particular lying in a bag, literally in a body bag on the side of a road. It's a horrific sight for anyone. I know a lot of people give credit to emergency services who deal with those matters, and rightly so, and we thank people for that. But it's not what we go through is nothing compared to friends and families will go through for the rest of their lives. Because it's an absolute life sentence. When somebody's killed in one of these collisions, a lot of the time when there's no good reason for it, if the truth be known, and yet that their parents, their siblings, their extended families, friends, neighbours, they all have a life sentence ahead of them because that person is gone and not to come back. By taking your eye off the road for a second, you travel two or three car lengths. Things can happen. If you take your eyes off the road at all, because for any distraction, you're increasing the danger to yourself and others on the road. So the message we'd like to get across is don't be distracted. Keep your eyes on the road at all times.
Ireland is breaching international human rights laws over its failure to house those who have sought international protection here. The High Court has ruled that the state's failure to provide for the basic needs of unaccommodated asylum seekers breaches their right to human dignity under the EU's Charter of Fundamental Rights. Mr Justice Barry O'Donnell said he was satisfied the current response of the state was inadequate by leaving international protection applicants without accommodation or the means to access accommodation. The case was taken by the Irish Human Rights and Equality Commission. It's been claimed today that 4 years into the de facto block crisis, the Department of Housing didn't know what measures had been taken to ensure construction materials in affected counties were fit for use and compliant with EU regulations. It later emerged that Donegal County Council had sent 25 letters to manufacturers on the introduction of the relevant EU regulation 4 years earlier. Keisha Connolly has more.
According to The Ditch, a senior department official wrote to Donegal County Council to ask what work the local authority had conducted. The article says in July 2017, the MICA Action Group met with former junior minister Damien English in Donegal County Council's offices and asked him about quality checks on construction materials and also about market surveillance of these products, the issue on which the European Commission has now taken legal action against Ireland for its failures. In August, a senior department advisor wrote to Donegal County Council's Director of Services, Liam Ward, to ask what measures the authority had taken. Mr Ward wrote back in September saying the authority had sent 25 letters in 2013 to manufacturers in the county outlining their obligations, including one which he said spoke for itself. There's a link to the full article on our website, highlandradio.com.
Meanwhile, the 100% Redress Party is calling for an immediate end to downgrades, with reports that over 70 applicants under the Enhanced Effective Block Scheme have had their engineers' recommendations overturned by the housing agency. Following a recent meeting in Milford at which people who have been downgraded shared their stories, Councillor Dennis McGee says the housing agency remains firmly wedded to one perspective on the cause of defective blocks, while the science is all pointing in the other direction. A review of the standards is underway, but Councillor McGee says the evidence suggests that the downgrades should stop and all houses with defective blocks should be demolished and rebuilt.
It's really heartbreaking listening to these people that have been downgraded. In my opinion, and the opinion of the 100% Redress Party, options 2, 3, 4 and 5 should be taken out of the equation altogether. We have to follow the science. They have to admit that it's internal sulphate attack that causes the blocks to expand. If you read IS 465, there are two options that the housing agency can go. They have chosen to go down the freeze-thaw theory. They won't go down the side that it's internal sulphate attack. We know now that the houses are getting tested under the new scheme, because I can see it clearly in my own report that I got from my house, that the levels of iron sulphur in the block is way and beyond the recommended percentages that should be there.
The Taoiseach has promised to review. Simon Harris says that the government will follow the science, the housing agency will follow the science, but your argument is the science is there for all to see, but somehow the housing agency and the government doesn't appear to be seeing it.
Donald, it's there, it's as clear as the nose on your face. This has to be taken out. As far as I'm concerned, there should be no more downgrades. And I think it's imperative that the likes of Charlie McGonagall, who is a minister, should come out and tell them to stop this downgrading absolutely from today onwards, because the science is just too much to ignore. If you have a house and you have a substandard product in that house, your house should be an option one of full demolition.
Gardaí are appealing for help in tracing a missing woman from Sligo. 37-year-old Amy Conway is reported missing from her home in Sligo town since Wednesday, June the 26th. She was last seen in Galway City area. Amy is described as being around 5'6" in height, with a medium build, brown hair and brown eyes. Gardaí and Amy's family are concerned for her welfare. A Donegal historian and commentator has described the Strategic Rail Review published this week as a work of fiction. The document proposes the allocation of €37 billion to rail projects between now and 2050, including a line from Derry to Dublin via Omagh and Portadown, into which a spur from Letterkenny would feed. Earlier on the 9 till noon show, transport consultant Richard Logue suggested this should be developed at the same time as the A5 upgrade, with the Irish government also contributing to the cost of the rail line.
Well, if they have any sense, they'll do two together. I think we need both. We know that the A5 is long overdue for the Northwest. It's a critical piece of infrastructure for us linking Donegal down to Dublin. Certainly the Irish government have made their commitments to paying for their share of the A5. I also think they should be looking to pay a share for the construction costs of the Portadown to Derry line, because ultimately that's where the trains from Donegal will run down to Dublin anyway.
However, Dr. Joe Kelly says the Letterkenny-Derry-Dublin line is aspirational and he doesn't believe it will come to fruition.
You have to be realistic. This is a work of fiction as far as I'm concerned, and it's not just my words when I use the word fiction. It's actually in the report itself. If you look at page 48, and it says it all. Please note, this is an indicative artistic interpretation of the recommendations presented within the document. And it goes on to say it's conceptual in nature and should not be interpreted as precise. So something that's conceptual is more or less an aspiration in somebody's mind. There's €37 billion. If you go down to Section D, the last appendix where it's headed, and look at it, you'll see that Donegal is being given €200 to €300 million out of a 37,000 million budget. Put that in context, it's less than 1.23% of the whole rail budget for the nation.
Meanwhile, Donegal County Council has welcomed the recent approval by Cabinet to progress the 10T. The council says the project will transform the core road network and will be the biggest road construction project in the county to date. Over €750 million will be invested to improve 42 kilometres of national primary roads, namely the N15, N13 Ballybofey to Norla Bypass, N56, N13 Letterkenny to Manorcunningham route, which includes the Bonnygee link, and the N14 Manorcunningham to Lifford Strabane A5 link. All three sections will advance through the planning consent stage, which will see the publication of an environmental impact assessment report and compulsory purchase order, which is expected to go out to public consultation in the first quarter of 2025. Once approved by An Bord Pleanála, the project will move to detailed design, tender documents and construction tendering process stage. The Social Protection Minister says she'll be prioritising carers, pensioners and those with disabilities in the budget. It comes as backbenchers reportedly look for a €20 increase in the weekly pension, the biggest ever single increase in the payment. Minister Heather Humphrey says with full employment, she doesn't see an argument for increasing payments for the long-term unemployed.
A €20 increase across the board in social welfare would actually cost £1.5 billion. Now, I know that a lot of other ministers will be looking for an increase in budgets in their departments as well. So, again, it's about sitting down and working out a budget that targets those most in need.
Emergency services are currently at the scene of a fire in the waterside area of Derry. The fire service is working to bring the blaze at the old Lisnagalvin Leisure Centre under control. People are being urged to avoid the area if possible. Police say the incident may cause significant disruption to traffic in the area. The average weekly household expenditure was just over €1,000 in 2022 and 2023. That figure is slightly lowered, almost €920 in northern and western counties. Donal Kavanagh has more.
According to CSO figures released today, the average spend in the northern and western region was €919.26. Transport, which covers vehicles, fuel, insurance, tax and public transport, was the main cost. The average weekly spend on transport in the region was €155.05 between 2022 and 2023. People in northern and western counties spent an average of €151 a week on food, €28.60 on alcohol and tobacco products, €36.64 on clothing and footwear, €63.28 on fuel and electricity, and €24.65 toward medical expenses, services and therapeutic equipment. In terms of housing, there was a €6 difference in what people spent a week on rent compared to mortgages. Those on rent spent an average of €41.77 per week. Those with mortgages spent €47.55.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. From rebounders to goalposts, find everything you need to play your best at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Time now for all the latest in sport with Mark Gallagher.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. We're going to start with today's action at the Olympic Games in Paris. The medal race in the men's skiff has been abandoned for the day due to inadequate wind conditions in Marseille. Two attempts were made to stage the race, with both called off after a single leg. It's expected the 10 crews will try again tomorrow, with Ireland's Robert Dixon and Sean Wadilove needing a fourth place finish to guarantee a medal. Elsewhere, Eve McMahon was 8th in the first race of 10 in the women's dinghy, while Finn Lynch sits 16th overall in the men's dinghy after finishes of 9th and 25th in today's first two races. Noel Hendrick narrowly missed out on a place in the final of the men's kayak. A pair of 2 second penalties proved to be moot as he placed 15th in the semi-final with only the top dozen going through. Earlier on, Darren Lynch and Philip Doyle secured Ireland's first rowing medal of the Paris Games. They took bronze in the men's double sculls, with gold going to Romania and silver to the Netherlands. Staying with rowing, and the women's four of Imogen Magner, Emer Lam, Natalie Long and Emily Hegarty won their B final and were 7th overall. Zoe Hyde and Alison Bergen were 10th overall in the women's double sculls after a 4th place finish in their B final. Rory McIlroy is 5 shots off the lead and best of the Irish duo after the opening day of the men's golf. McIlroy shot a 3-under card of 68, while Shane Lowry opened with a level par round of 71. Japan's Hideki Matsuyama holds a 2-stroke lead on 8-under par. A 2-1 defeat to Argentina ended Ireland's hopes of making the quarterfinals of the men's hockey. They will conclude their group campaign tomorrow against New Zealand. Jack Marley goes in search of Ireland's second medal in the boxing ring tonight. A heavyweight quarterfinal win over Davlat Boltaev of Tajikistan will guarantee the Sally Noggin fighter at least bronze. They are due in the ring just after 9 p.m. Irish time. Earlier at 7, Diana Moorhouse will make her Olympic debut, facing Wasila Lekadjeri of France in the women's flyweight last 16. And a sixth place finish in this morning's qualifying event means Ireland's show jumpers will return for tomorrow's team final in Versailles. Now, moving on to horse racing, it's day 4 of the Galway Festival as the 8-race card got underway at the earlier time of 2:10 this afternoon. Dave Keena has all the latest.
It's Guinness Galway Hurdle Day on day 4 of the Galway Festival. Pink in the Park won the opening beginner's chase for Willie Mullins and Paul Townend. And there's been a double for Jessica Harrington after Ashdale Bob won the graded novice chase. And Rachna captured the Guinness listed fillies race. Petrolhead is a notable absentee in the Guinness Galway Hurdle. In association with Paddy Power News, the place for all your Galway races tips. I'm Dave Keena.
Well, it's a busy day for Donegal jockeys. Dylan Brown McMonagall has won the 2:25 race at Glorious Goodwood. Dylan was on board the MD O'Callaghan trained Black Forza and romped home as a 9-1 shot. He was also in action in the feature race of the day, the Nassau Stakes, which was won by jockey Ryan Moore on Opera Singer. Rathmullen native Luke McAteer is in between two rides in Galway. He finished in the middle of the field in the 3:20 and will be back in action in the Guinness 0-0 handicap in and around about half an hour's time. Elsewhere, Oisín Orr and Brandon Wilkie are both in action this evening at Wolverhampton. Now moving on to soccer, St Pat's are in Liechtenstein looking to book a place in the third qualifying round of the Conference League. Stephen Kenny's side have taken a 3-1 lead with them for the second leg of their tie with Vaduz. Kickoff there is at 6:30. Shelburne, meanwhile, are playing for pride tonight at Tolka Park. They resume 3-0 down from the first leg of their tie with FC Zurich. There's a 7:45 start in Drumcondra. And the first quarterfinal of the Summer Community Cup has finished at the Letterkenny Community Centre. It finished Letterkenny Rovers 2, Cockhill Celtic 0. In Gaelic Games, there's action in the Derry Intermediate Football Championship this evening. In Group A, Ballinderry play Limavady Wolfhounds. And in Group B, Greenlough meet Fochan Vale. Finally, on the score this week, Oisín Kelly is joined by former Finn Harps captain Keith Cowan for our weekly League of Ireland chat to look ahead to the action for Finn Harps and Derry City. It's been a busy week for the Northwest Olympians in Paris. We will reflect on Mona McSharry's medal-winning performance with her coach Grace Mead. We'll also speak to Daniel McGee, High Performance Director of Badminton Ireland, as he discusses the Irish performances so far, and in particular Rachel Dara's Olympic debut. Donegal Boxing Board President Peter O'Donnell talks Olympic boxing live from the French capital, and Mitchell McLaughlin dropped into studio to tell us about his selection for the Paralympics. That's all coming up on The Score this evening after the 7 o'clock news. That's your sport for now. Back to you, Michaela.
Thanks, Mark. Weather now mainly dry and warm this evening. Dry with clear spells for a time tonight. Rain and drizzle will spread gradually later on. A humid night with lowest temperatures of 14 to 16 degrees. The closing headlines. Gardaí will be out in force in Donegal this August bank holiday weekend. Head of the Roads Policing Unit in Donegal, Inspector Seamus McGonigal, says in light of recent statistics, a key message this weekend is not to allow yourself get distracted behind the wheel. Gardaí are appealing for help in tracing a missing woman from Sligo. 37-year-old Amy Conway is reported missing from her home in Sligo town since Wednesday, June the 26th. Emergency services are currently at the scene of a fire in the waterside area of Derry. The fire service is working to bring the blaze at the old Lisnagolf and Leisure Centre under control. And a Donegal historian and commentator has described the strategic rail review published this week as a work of fiction. The document proposes the allocation of €37 billion to rail projects between now and 2050, including a line from Derry to Dublin via Omagh and Portadown, into which a spur from Letterkenny would feed. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. Coming up next is Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore, and we'll be back with an update at 6 o'clock. Good evening.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore.
Well, it's very much a case of it's showtime here in Donegal, as we have numerous agricultural shows to look forward to in the next week. Coming up, we'll hear more about the Glencolumbkill Agricultural Show on Sunday and also the charity sheepdog trials on Monday. And we'll have a look forward to the Mena Cross Agricultural Show on Bank Holiday Monday as well. But first, just to remind you that the Clonmany Agricultural Show is the biggest of its kind in the county and takes place over 2 days next week, Tuesday the 6th of August and Wednesday August the 7th at the Pollen Green in Ballyliffin. We've featured it on the programme in the past and some of you may have heard about it on Around the Northwest with John Breslin yesterday. This is the 55th staging of the show, and in addition to the agriculture, livestock and sheepdog trials, the show really has evolved into a truly family fun packed event. There's also the Northwest Open Ewe and Sheep Shearing and Wool Handling Championships to look forward to. Lots of local produce, arts and craft, fashion, kids entertainment, show jumping and much more. Plenty of music as well. There's also the massive monster draw with prizes worth more than €100,000. The first prize being a choice of a Valtra tractor or a Skoda Kodiaq Jeep. So much to look forward to there. All the details on the Clonmany Show website. The Glencolumbkill Agricultural Show is on this Sunday, the 4th of August. The gates open early on for the receiving of all marquee entries, with the sheep show marking the start of proceedings. To find out more about what's in store, I've been speaking with the show chairperson, Michael O'Gara.
Sheep show at 9:30. Cattle starts around the same time as well. We have two rings for sheep and one ring for cattle. We have a lot of food, have around which maybe up to 600 sheep on the day, and about probably about 60 or 70 head of cattle.
Great. So lots to look forward to there. And what have the entries been like this year?
The entries have been surprisingly very good for the kind of a year we've had. Everything seems to be roughly the same as other years now. We have vegetable categories and paintings and all that in the marquee, arts and crafts and all that type of stuff. And we have the cattle and the sheep, and we have a small marquee for the hens and ducks and the roosters and all that as well. So all them entries seem to be very good.
And the horse and pony show getting underway around 11, yeah. Always popular.
Horse and pony show, yeah, that's actually up this year. We have more entries than any out of the year now. It's the biggest entry we've had this year up to date now of horses and ponies. That gets away up in the parking field just before you come into the show. We have a special ring up there for them.
Now I see here that the daytime entertainment, we've Fruity and Dishy, dog and duck performance, sheep clipping, yeah. Model farm, yeah, stone, yeah, building demonstration, a skid and steer competition, judge the sheep, basket weaving. There's certainly plenty to look forward to.
There's loads of stuff and plenty of games for children as well, plenty of entertainment for children as well, yeah. We have all that all ready to go on Sunday.
Great. And tell us who will be performing the official opening this year?
James P. Byrne, he's a local publican that has given us a lot of help down through the years, and we're giving him the honour this year.
And that takes place, I think, about 12:30, and then in the afternoon, the dog show, it's always one of the most popular things.
Yeah, the dog show is fantastic. Now we do have a very good dog show as well. That starts around about 3:00. And then Toss the Sheaf then is on in the evening as well.
Right, and you have, I think, music also?
Oh, we have two bands on. We'll have a band on from about, they'll be starting around 5:30 and they play at 8:00, and then another band plays from that till 11:00.
Some great music. And as always, there's a grand prize draw and a nice first prize.
There's a fantastic first prize, a pedigree heifer, and there's about 7 or 8, there's two purebred Lanark lambs, and there's a host of other prizes on that ticket as well.
And tickets will... 10 euro. Yeah.
There'll be two stands selling tickets on the day, yeah.
And finally, Michael, also to look forward to, now it's not till Monday, but at 10:00 on Monday, you have the charity sheepdog trials, and all money on the day is going to the Alzheimer's Society of Ireland.
That's right. We have some of the best sheepdog men and the county and some from outside the county coming to us on that day. That was a fantastic day as well.
And will it all be signposted?
All signposted, yeah. All roads lead to Glendon every 2 days.
And that was Michael O'Gara, chairperson of the Glen Columkill Agricultural Show. The 62nd Mena Cross Agricultural Show takes place on Bank Holiday Monday, just outside Dunloe. And delighted to say Katrina Boner, secretary, joins me on the line to tell me a little bit more about it. A big event, of course, in West Donegal. Can you give us a flavour of what to expect this year?
Yes, Chris, we have our show now on Monday. We're really looking forward to it. We're just praying for good weather. We have our day begins about 11:30 in the morning. Our judging starts. That's the cattle, the sheep and the horses. And all our home industries start at 12:30. So you could get anything inside from a pavlova to a crochet to the Leaving Cert and Junior Cert projects are all included in it. There is up to 42 sections inside. Various cups, memorial cups throughout those sections as well with vouchers and that. And then we have a fantastic dog show. Our dog show starts about 2 o'clock. Last year, I think we had something like 90 dogs in it. So it really is a real family event, the dog show, with all different sections. Some very serious sections and some not so serious fun sections. And then we have a fantastic evening programme. And in our evening programme, we try to keep some of the traditional things, maybe that have been lost along the way, like Cassiwintugan, which is the making of the ropes. We have obstacle courses for the fittest family. We have the trow and the sheaf, and we finish our day with tug-of-war. And one of the great things we always have at the show is an egg throwing competition, and that's usually couples that enter that. And each year we have great fun at the egg throwing competition. But the show is also one of the first events that the 2025 Mary from Dunloe will attend, and she will present some of our prizes on the day. So it's really a fun, full day for all the family, whether you're into exhibiting or you're just coming as a spectator or just coming for the evening programme. It's really a day for all the family.
And I suppose if the weather is good, that's an added bonus.
An added bonus, because once the weather's good, you see people coming there at 11 o'clock in the morning and they may not leave until 6 or 7 in the evening because everything happens around an old school. We're actually celebrating 150 years of our school next year out there as well, our old school hall. And everything happens around that old school. And it's actually one of the shows that you see people that you may not have seen from the following year. So the same people keep coming back year after year because it's such a real community event, a real family day out, and the weather is everything, so we're just praying for sunshine.
And for those who haven't ventured down to West Donegal before to attend the show, essentially head for Dunloe and then you're not too far off the mark.
Yes, once you head for Dunloe in the middle of the town, you will see the Midway Bar, and there are signs the whole way out from there, the whole way out. And it is only €8 admission per adult, and children are free. For a family, it's only €16 for the whole day's entertainment.
And that was Katrina Boner, the secretary of the Mena Cross Agricultural Show. Finally, in other news this week, incomes on Irish farms are set to increase this year from the sharp fall seen in 2023. According to a Chagas forecast, the average gross margin for suckler enterprises is forecast to increase by 10% to €560 a hectare in 2024. The main drivers of this lift in income are better cattle prices and slightly reduced production costs. Meanwhile, the recent sharp production in the national suckler herd continues with 46,543 fewer suckler cows on farms on the 1st of June compared to 12 months previous. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
The obituary notice says for this Thursday evening, August the 1st, the death has taken place of Christine Chrissy McGillian, née Kennedy, 31 Lambton Court, Strabane, and formerly of Dublin, reposing at her home tomorrow afternoon from 2 o'clock. Fiona leaving her home on Monday morning at 9:20 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmind at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. The death has taken place of Margaret McGinley, Nate Doherty, banker, Maharanan Letterkenny, formerly of Auchterlinn, Rathmullen, reposing at her late residence today from 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock and tomorrow from 2 o'clock to 9 o'clock with rosary at 9 o'clock both nights. Family time please on the morning of the funeral. Funeral mass on Saturday morning at 11 o'clock in the Church of the Irish Martyrs Ballyrain, which can be viewed on the parish YouTube channel, followed by burial in Rathmullen Cemetery. Family flowers only please, donations in lieu if wished to the Friends of Letterkenny University Hospital, care of Pascal Blake, funeral director. The death has taken place of Norman McLucas, Cabri, Quigley's Point. House strictly private please. Funeral service will take place in Greenbank Presbyterian Church tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock, followed by interment afterwards in the adjoining burying ground. Family flowers only please, donations in lieu of flowers if wished to Greenbank Presbyterian Church. And the sudden death has taken place of Martin Quinn, Mina Gorey, Buncrana. Martin's remains will repose at his late residence from 12 noon tomorrow. House private please from 11 o'clock to 11 o'clock. Funeral from there at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning, going to St Mary's Church, Cock Hill, for 11 o'clock funeral mass with burial in the adjoining cemetery. Martin's funeral mass can be viewed live on churchservices.tv. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.